Welcome to the Conservative Voice here on WWDB 860 AM. I'm your host, Don Beuschel, and I'm waiting for my good friend, Mr. James Jones, to come in as usual. James is always zooming in hot, but I'm sure he'll be here shortly. This portion of the show is brought to you by Salvatore's Cucina. If you like great Italian food, Salvatore's is a BYOB establishment, and it's located at 1150 Bristol Oxford Valley Road, Levittown, PA, and the phone number is 215-547-7000. So go to Sal's if you want to get some great Italian food, plus they also have really good pizza, steak sandwiches, all that good stuff. So before we get started, I think it's only fair that we recognize what happened on Election Day in the city of Philadelphia and pay tribute to the death of the Republican Party in the city of Philadelphia. Yes, unfortunately, in the last election day, the Working Families Party took both seats at the city at large council. And so the Republican Party is officially, except for Bernie O'Neill, is officially done in the city of Philadelphia. Now, what I think the Democratic Party has to understand is the Working Family Party's now, well, next will be coming for them as well. So this is a major problem. And as we talked about on the show many of times, you know, the Democrats have controlled the city of Philadelphia from city council since 1960, and they haven't had a Republican mayor since 1952. And as the years have gone on, they have slowly even stopped trying in certain areas of the city. And so they've allowed their Democratic opponents to basically run unopposed in many areas of the city. And so obviously, if you don't hear another side of the message, another side of the coin, you know, people are just going to vote. If there's only one person on the ballot, who else are they going to vote for? You know, and you know, I've had this conversation many times with James, you know, when he comes in. I've spoken to Calvin Tucker many times about this. You know, Calvin is on the same boat as I is that, you know, if the Republican Party wants to have any prayer of coming back in the city of Philadelphia and now Montgomery County, every county in the collar counties is now blue. There is no Republican control in Chester, Delaware, Montgomery, Bucks, or Philadelphia. That they're going to have to really stop talking the talk and do the walk. And what I mean by that is, you know, you hear all the say, oh, you know, we have to go into the African-American community. We have to go into the Hispanic community. We have to go into this community, that community. They say it, but they never want to do it. Okay? They just don't. You know, we've been advocating for years on this show that, you know, the Republican Party needs to open up an office in West Philadelphia. You know, in North Philadelphia. I mean, I grew up in North Philadelphia. I'm from, you know, my mom went to St. Mike's, the second in Jefferson. Our family was at Berks and Oriana. That's where we lived. You know, look, here's the bottom line. Okay, there are so many people in the minority communities in the city of Philadelphia. And really, let's be honest. Let's, you know, the word minority, I'm going to put that in quotations because, you know, if you combine all the what they call traditionally the minority communities, the African American, the Hispanic, the Vietnamese, and so forth and so on, they're the majority. And so the bottom line is that if you want to be successful, you have to talk to those people and you have to give them their message. You have to give them a choice. Okay, they deserve to have the choice that we grew up with. And if you're not going to do that, then don't cry when you lose. Okay, and don't send candidates out. I mean, we had Drew Murray in here, who was, you know, if you listen to when Drew spoke, he knew what he was talking about. He was very articulate, had a great message. Okay, but he had no support from the Republican Party as far as getting the message out there. They basically are neutered now. You know, the Working Family Party, you know, is there. They've got the situations, you know, that they've taken over. It's over. It's done with. You know, so now the question is, and I was talking to Randall Jefferson about this in the last election or the last week when he came in for his show, is that the Working Families Party, now that they've taken over the city of Philadelphia and the Republican Party and basically, you know, got them out of existence, now they're going to start going for some of the Democrats. You know, and that's what's going to happen. You know, so it's a shame. It is what it is. That's why, you know, I, you know, want people to realize what is happening. So I want to introduce a gentleman that we've got in the studio, James Jones. He called me last night. He says, look, I got a great guy to come in and talk about, you know, the Enlightenment in the black and brown communities of Philadelphia. He's from North Philly, right, Robert?
Yes.
North Philly.
Yes.
So Robert Williams is in the studio, and we're gonna have some of this discussion. And you know, some people might be a little bit uncomfortable with it, but you know what? Too bad. Okay. This is stuff that we have to start talking about. If you want to have change, and if you think that everything is hunky dory in Philadelphia, then just keep voting the way you are. Okay. And don't complain when you get shot. Or there's a junkie laying on your neighborhood. You know, when Doug Mastriano was running for governor, when we went down to Kensington and Allegheny, and Doug, unlike Oz, Doug went down with no press, no nothing. He just went down there and talked to the people. And we talked to this one grandmother in the park down there, and she said, you know, she says, I want to be able to bring my grandchildren out here in the park and have a good time, and I can't because there's needles on the ground. You don't know who's going to come up to you, and the police won't do anything. I don't blame the police because they can't do anything. I have a nephew that's a police officer in that district. And, you know, they've been instructed, you know, hands off, let it go. Just let it go. You know, just let it go. It'll all get better on its own. So Robert, thanks for coming in.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
So let's get to this. So what are we going to do here?
Well, the biggest thing is the word education is used frequently. Mm-hmm. We got to understand what that means amongst us as people, period.
Right.
We talk more history, not less history. You know, don't put a limitation on history when we're discussing. This new party, I'm actually getting enlightened now. Who they are, where they're coming from. If you look at the history of this country, everybody, George Washington, and you go back to the first president, were they Democrats or Republicans? They were whole different parties.
Right.
Even the Republican Party came about, it was a Democratic party that made the Republican Party form in the first place. This is something that shouldn't just be thrown up in the air. This is should be known. Now, if we look at today's climate, if you look at, step back, and let's say, what's the Democratic ideology and what's the Republican ideology? I think both are needed. Some high one way and it needs a balance. But when you come to certain family values, which both parties should have, who has been the one that has been trying to stay focused on certain family values? That is one of the lead-ins that if you go into what we say, I don't even like the black and brown. The dollar, but that's the term we use. But when you go into the communities where we know has been not historically been told that you look at a Republican is evil. That is uneducated energy that people have been able to use. That's why they run unopposed, because you look for somebody to come in. If any of you guys come in, and I'm very popular, if I put my name on a ballot and I put down Republican underneath it, and I'm very popular in the area, it could shake things up and people have to think about it. But most people still look at me, what did I do? What's wrong? How did that get started so high? Because today, a lot of, how we say, black and brown have more values that's in alignment with some of the Republican agenda.
So let me touch on that a little bit, because we ran into this when Kathy Barnett was running for a Congress in Montgomery County.
Mm-hmm.
And she would go and talk to people, and they would come up to her and they say, "Oh, man, we really like what you say. We really want to vote for you." And I can't tell you how many people then, once she said she was from the Republican Party, they said, "Oh, I can't vote for you. You're a Republican."
Right.
And she said, "You just told me that you liked everything I just said and everything I just stand for."
Right.
Because they have this mindset, as you just said, that Republicans are evil. Republicans are against me because of the color of my skin, or the God that I may pray to, or something like that. And we've talked about this, James and I and Gary, and we've talked about this on the show, that the Republican Party never pushes back. They allow the other party to define who we are and what we stand for.
Right.
Because we're so afraid to offend anybody. And instead of standing up for that to which we believe in, we let them say what we are.
And I ask somebody, what are they? That's the question that needs to be asked in the Republican room. Who are you? You have, I mean, it's a stereotype exists, and sometimes we got to study stereotypes because they have some foundation. It's a matter of addressing it. I will always embrace being a black man in America.
Right.
Fine. I'm always embrace being from North Philly. I say it with pride. That don't define me. That just says who I am. And that's where my perspective is going to come from when I look at issues. I have grown, but I'm always going to have a connection to help others to grow. So I can sometimes get offended for someone because I know the challenge that he may have come from. But when my Republican, I had a good guy in the primary. His name was Gary. I can't think of Gary's last name. He was running trying to get the Nile for the ticket. He's a musician on the Republican ticket. He's a musician. His plan for music is good for our city. And with our school district having the challenges, he is a musician, guys. And he was, I can't think of Gary's last name, he was running in the primary. But that gentleman, if he had a certain fund of the money, I don't know if he would have got denied, but he has such a strong message. And he himself, I was getting on his case. You're a musician. Look at all the musicians around the city that know you. But he's still working and doing what he had to do to put resources. He couldn't get the resources to get out there. And he knew enough people that may have pulled the trigger for him if he would have had the resources to get to that far.
This is James. I'm an ooh-rah kind of guy coming in a little late. But, you know, Robert, you and I have had many conversations. And, again, thanks a lot for being here in the radio station today with Gary and Don and I, so we can be able to listen to a different perspective. And I think that's so important because, you know, we've seen brainwashed African-Americans, Hispanics, about the Democratic Party as well as about the Republican Party. You know, at one point, as you said earlier in your comment, it was the Republican Party that had the strongest influence over black people. And over a period of time, they've lost that swagger. And it's like the messaging has changed so significantly, and that they're bringing up issues that is more than likely to turn black people off than to turn them on, especially inside your inner cities, right? And I understand what you're talking about with the gentleman who had the musical background, because it's one way of gaining influence, gaining control, getting a message out there to share with the younger generation that this is what's happening. You know, you got to be able to break it down to a person at that level. It's one thing I talked about a while back to somebody, and they said, abortion inside the urban communities, that's not a black issue right now. Abortion, it is an issue, but it's not a black issue that's predominant. More of the black issues are, let's talk about crime. Let's talk about jobs. Let's talk about physical security. Let's talk about going to the grocery store, getting carjacked. Those are some of the more prevalent issues instead of climate change. You know, we got a president who says climate change is more important than Iran. And we know he's way off key, but he's able to brainwash people because he has a control to the media. CNN, MSNBC, Facebook, many of the other places will certainly adopt that methodology, and they'll make it sound as if you can't walk out the door unless you're going to get choked by some level of smog or emission standards that's coming from vehicles. And that's not the case. In the inner city, yeah, there's a lot of that that's going on too, but primarily there's a significant amount of brainwashing that goes on that says the Republicans are the racist. The Democrats are the lovers. They love you, black folks. They love you, Hispanics. And we have to change that. So, you know, one of the things I'm concerned about, because we have a system of teaching wrong. How do we change that system of teaching wrong? You know, we know that that message is not right. We know we're all humans. We're Christians made in the image of God. But we have to do something about it. And what is that message that we can start to teach one-on-one, people to people, person to person, you know, small groups, that's going to help change that dynamic? And it's not, at the end of the day, it's not going to be about Republicans or Democrats. It's going to be about individuals, you know. Mm-hmm. And Don, you made a point, too, about what Kathy Barnett said. I think so often when we walk into a room, we'll start hearing ourselves say that we're Republicans. I don't think that's important. You know, when you got a fire going on in your house or in your neighborhood, you could care less whether it's a Democrat or Republican,
that's
independent.
True.
Your house is burning up. And that's the message that we got to let people know.
Share something. This is something to share. Arnold Schwarzenegger was the governor. He was married to Maria Shriver. Isn't she a Kennedy?
Yes.
They were married. Wow. I heard Mr. McCain say that the Kennedy that passed away from the Senate,
Ted Kennedy,
referred to him as a best friend. Hold it. Now, in the media, by the way it looked, these guys should be over here. They are. They're on different teams, but that doesn't mean they don't have a love, respect, and commonality. And what I would love for my European gentlemen to do in the Republican Party, I hope this goes viral. When you hear the word racist and somebody's saying it, say, yes, we are. So are they. Because we are the European folks that's descended from the European folks directly, indirectly. And the system is a racist system based upon the controlling race. And most poor people got the money are the controlling race in this country, right? So that innately, indirectly, or directly makes you racist. What people are mixing the word up with is prejudice. Mm-hmm. They want to call someone racist when they call somebody, that's what you mess up at. The system itself, if you're going through challenges and you're being pulled over because you feel like you're African-American and you see this gentleman in the car next to you doing things you're not, he's not. That's a system. Prejudice. So I met a lot of European descent individuals that's not prejudice, but they could benefit from the system. So let's say the word, embrace it. But do what Donald did against Hillary. He said, you're right. Yes, I am. But so do your friends, so do your friends, so do your friends. Think about it. That's, he didn't get about, yes, I did get that break. Yes, I did. I was supposed to. It was written for me. You didn't change it. It wasn't my fault. You kept it there. But so did that one. So did that one. That made people stop for a second. That made everybody stop for a second. So take that type of methodology and do it, because I tell people, I said, so you see somebody that's a Republican, and I have a friend of mine for years that was a longtime Republican in Philadelphia. He used to have me cracking up because he used to be working hard to tell people some logic of this bill. Because guess what? The health care reform bill, it always is questioned about what it caused, the value of it, but one thing wasn't taken out was the pre-existing condition. I looked at television. The gentleman had an audience. Mitt Romney had a meeting. The gentleman was in the meeting, and he said, hold it. I've been a dedicated Republican. I went against Obama on everything. But I got to say thank you for this bill because it saved my life. So we could talk about the bill, and I look at it. They could talk about who did what or what money's in there. They're debating about that Social Security and everything else. But that bill hasn't stopped. It might be talking about how it's supposed to work.
See, you're getting into the nitty-gritty of what people gloss over. It's because, like you said, it's the system.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in other words, and you're right, people mix up prejudice and racist, And there's a difference because the system in itself, you can't connect racist mm-hmm. to color or creed, because really it's wealth versus not wealth. You know that is the system in this country,
right?
But and I think that's a point that unfortunately gets glossed over here. But one of the things, Robert, that we've talked about on the show, and Gary, you can jump in here on this, is we have said all along that the Republican Party right now has no clear and consistent message. In other words, we don't have a product that we can offer to somebody to say, hey, you know, this is what we are. Maybe this will be different than what you're used to. And you can see the difference why we are what we're offering versus what they're offering, but we're all over the board. We're trying to create a one size fits all thing, and the Democratic Party, and this is why I think the Working Family Party has become so successful, is they don't compromise. In other words, and I know the word compromise, people are going to misconstrue what I'm saying, is that they have stayed true to what their message is. They have a clear message. They articulate that message. And they have differentiated themselves not only from the Republicans in Philadelphia, who they trounced, but now they're differentiating themselves between the Democratic Party. And they've got a clear and concise message. And Gar, we've talked about this, that from our standpoint, if we want to be successful as a Republican Party, we have to have a clear message, a product.
There has to be a product. You have to have something to sell if you want someone to buy it. Right. And if you're running around acting as if you really don't have anything to say, you're afraid to say anything that's meaningful because that might offend a leftist, or you know, you've been trained simply not to address issues. So you're constantly running as candidates that stand for nothing and a party that fights for nothing. The end result, you lose elections. Mm-hmm. Interestingly, looking at some school board races in this last cycle, what we found is the candidates who affiliated with Moms for Liberty did better than those that did not.
Right.
They were just affiliated with the Republican Party, because those that were more closely affiliated with the Republican Party basically avoided any important issues, most of them, right? But everybody knew that if you're affiliated with Moms for Liberty, you want the porn out of the schools. You want education back in the schools, right? And of course, there's a portion of the population that buys the whole book banning lie. But more and more parents every day are saying, wait a minute, I don't want my kids exposed. And they know, it doesn't matter if those people are Vietnamese ethnicity, if they're black or brown mm-hmm. or white. It doesn't matter. I don't know any parent that stands up and says, I hope my kid gets exposed to pornography by the third grade teacher today. It just doesn't happen.
Right.
So you've got to have a message. You've got to convey it. You've got to defend it. You got to explain it. And it's got to cross all lines. And a lot of the stuff that we talk about in any specific demographic actually applies to everybody. You know, folks think the Republican Party doesn't represent this group or that group. Go out in the collar counties. Nobody out there thinks the Republican Party represents them. None of them. They don't see it. So we've got to, you know, really start thinking about, what is this party's role? Who does it serve? And what does it stand for? Is it ever going to be willing to fight? And then when a candidate comes, if that candidate's willing to plant their feet and take positions, then we got to get behind them.
It seems right there, Gary, it's one of the bigger issues. You come into a city like Philadelphia, we got 7-1. Mm-hmm. And the Republican Party said, hey, let's just back away from that. Forget about it. We know good and well that David O is not going to win, so we're not going to put any money
right.
into it. David O, you want to run, it's on your own. We know you've been on city council. You can relate to some of the issues that are going on. You know the culture quite well over there. But if you're going to run, we're not going to help you. Why? I mean, come on. How in the heck do you think that's going to happen when one man is out there beating his butt off and he only raised probably, you know, a couple hundred thousand dollars for this race, and nobody gets behind a good candidate like a David O?
Right.
And when David O goes into different communities, you know, he may be well-known in those communities, but they don't have enough girth to hang on to the message that David O has, because they're thinking, if we elected David O, we just elected the entire Republican Party into our area.
But what you just said, so I'm going to, because I want to connect that to what Robert's been saying here. if David O had a D next to his name, he wins the election.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
I mean, so again, this is this preconception that Robert was just talking about, is that they can, that we have allowed them, the other, our opposition, to define us as this evil, racist, homophobic, you know,
brainwashed,
restricted.
Right.
And we've allowed that, and now we don't even fight back about it.
Right.
You know, James, before you came in, James, I was talking to Robert about this, how you and I have said we need to open up an office in West Philly and North Philly. You know, and who cares in the next 5 years if three people walk into the office? But at least it's three more than's happening now.
You cannot penetrate a market you don't participate in.
Right.
So if if you're not fighting in Philadelphia, then you're fighting in Delaware County. If you're not fighting in Delaware County, you're fighting in Chester County. Guess what? You've lost all of those. Soon they're going to be fighting in York County.
Look how far it's spread.
You know, here's something that's really interesting because, you know, there's a Thanksgiving is next week, and it blows my mind that we're there that fast. Thanksgiving is next week. And surprisingly enough, there are a lot of people who are in the Democratic Party giving away turkeys, giving away meals, doing something for the community. You know, celebrities, they're coming out there. Even whether they're a Republican or Democrat, we don't know who they are, if they are celebrities. But they're coming out and they're giving away turkeys. What is the Republican Party doing? Not diddly, jack, zip, zero. And you know what? It could be a method of showing good faith in the neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. In the community, because yes, there's a lot of poverty in this neighborhood. Philadelphia carries a big stronghold. I think they're ranked number 12th in the nation with poverty inside Philadelphia. You know, the fifth largest city in the nation. But why can't we do something? I mean, granted, most people think that Republicans are wealthy anyway. Oh, yeah. You're in the Republican Party, you got to be rich.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know the struggles or sacrifices that any of us make, especially when you're in business. They think you automatically walked into it like a Donald Trump, who happened to have been a Democrat and later converted to become a Republican. But they think that all Republicans walk into that moment of glory where they hit the lottery just because they were born and happened to be in the Republican Party.
Or an assumption is made that Democrats all came from the bottom and came up.
Yeah. But you know what, Robert?
But that's not true. The whole bunch are historically rich Democrats.
Yeah,
but we don't ever put that in the media like that.
Well, and where are the billionaires? The billionaires are supporting the Democrat Party. That's why their machine is full of cash and there's nothing on the Republican side.
Right.
It is the party of the ultra-wealthy globalist. That's what it is.
But
and yet it still maintains the marketed view, this commercialized view, that it's the working man's party.
Well,
it's never been that.
But Robert hit on a great point. The way they market themselves is that we came up from the bottom and we've succeeded, okay? You know, let's be clear. If we look at the historical fact, like somebody like a Nancy Pelosi, for example, that gets in office and has no money, and then when she leaves office, she's worth millions and millions and millions of dollars. Joe Biden, as a senator, he's got – how many houses does he have?
Four beautiful mansions. Really nice. Really
you
nice.
You know, on a senator salary?
Yeah.
Robert just made hit a home run when he made that statement there, because this is how the Democrats portray themselves is, we started out, you know, we were eating bread and water, but now we've succeeded, you know?
Right. And one thing when I say talk about more history, this is we talking about politics, but the game is the game. This is corporate America. I say these terms a lot. There's something to use in a street terminology, but it applies to life. More history, not less, okay? Okay, we are sold that, okay, white people are successful. We're not. Let's start from there. Now, you got different groups of white people that we don't talk about.
Right.
You got the old money people that we hear about. Sometimes they ride around us and you're not sure. They go back to the George Washington and Ben Franklin, and that's the historical money that we sometimes talk about. You got the set over here, nobody familiar with what they're doing in Utah or my Amish community over here. They got this, well, but they still, quote unquote, white. But the ones that infused the most are the ones that came over in the 1800s, are not necessarily historically as wealthy as some of the others. They know the different, how we say they know the differences. Everybody that sometimes we see from Ellis Island are the ones that work their way up. So they may have some wealth, but that's 1910, 1912. Now, for African Americans, not talking enough history, after slavery was over, we did it. It's through Reconstruction that things were taken away from us more. That's the racist energy that we deal with. But so when you got somebody who came over in 1912, 1918, it was already happening. They did not know. So if your history or your grandfather started from here and you're part of the mixed community now, you can't connect because you're not part of the generation before.
Right.
That history is not a complaining. It's putting more facts out, talking more history, not less. So we can see who are truly the ones with the wealth. And you got a lot of family names. I'm going to put them in your airways because I don't know who, but there's a lot of family names that still exist from that time period that people know. History shows us what to do with anything from the past so we can make a better future. Embrace more of it, not less. Because I can't speak for every other people from Europe, but I know a lot of my Italians, you see the stereotype that they're under that stereotype umbrella that they can't shake. Because we got about 100 movies about their path.
Right.
But that path don't mean everybody in the whole Italian neighborhood was doing with the movie. And I liked them, too. Yes, I looked at all of them, too. Yes, I did.
Great movie.
But look at the time frame. Look at the movie as a history. Yeah. When did they come over in this certain time frame? And they have put money around and they have moved away from that. But that's history to talk. I share that. Sharing more history helps people to connect better and not less history.
The difference, I think where people have the disconnect is that there's the real difference between the slavery master type thing. It's not black, white. It's money, no money. It's wealth, no wealth.
Bingo. Perfect analogy.
So it's like, because I know for a fact, talking to my mom's side of the family, Irish descent, when their ancestors came over, the Irish came over from Ireland during the potato famine.
Yes.
They were basically slaves here in the New York area, mm-hmm. And they were treated as indentured servants to come over. So slavery is not determined by the color of your skin.
I have to disagree with you on that, Don. It's
determined by your financial situation.
And that's a good example. But that's where the word racist come in from the most.
Well, that's when you got to have right, and you have not.
But when your people started moving up, they didn't have laws written against them. And black people in that country, we still live with laws from 1800.
Right, yes.
That's the real defining what the term racist come in at. Because, mm-hmm. yes, your people were indentured servants, but when they started doing, a lot of Irishmen are cops.
Right.
But when they started moving forward, they had some challenges. But these guys over here
had actually physical laws against them.
And we had wealth that was taken because there's laws that say in different parts of the country that you couldn't meet in this room as a black person.
Right.
A woman lost her wealth because she had to rely on this particular white gentleman that was...
And those laws mm-hmm. were actually more recent in our history than when we don't go back. Those laws progressed into the 1910s, 1920s, mm-hmm. 1930s, what we consider modern society, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And, so that those laws, I think that's a good point, is those laws were the real barrier.
Right. And talking more history gets us stronger because right. thereby you come up with something. That, and I tell people, as the one book that needs a, and I don't know her personally, but she has wrote a great book on PhD, Dr. Joyce DeGruy, DeGruy. She did this from about 10 years ago, and she said the impact of post-traumatic slave syndrome. And when she talks about it, y'all got to look her up one day. It's not a yelling and screaming. It's just going over facts. And when she's in the room with others, it makes people think. Now, here she is today with a PhD. She's okay. Mm-hmm. She said, understanding the path, and while we still historical, and then every time we have risen up, the scary part that my African-American community has needs to see, I'm all about assistance from the government, but some of the assistance became a way of life. Mm-hmm. I look at my school. In the city of Philadelphia, they had a great superintendent. And since she was from the city, she was able to make a lot of impact. But since then, we have had a Democratic-controlled city, mm-hmm. and my school district is in the dirt. It went from okay to worse. And we got to take it. You got to look at who's in charge. Those are some of the nailing points that you need to drive home. Nobody can, hey, I'm Republican. You're happy with that. But look at that trades that's out of this school. You're happy with that. We talk about mental illness. Come on, stop this mental illness discussion. If you're not going to talk about this when we had started and fix it coming from there, don't give me the mental illness today because you get more money the more you label a kid
right.
with mental illness today. That's about the money. No recess in this school. No accountability. Then also we took structure, discipline out of our schools, out of our homes. Who, what party wrote that bill? You can't save the child until you save the family. But what parties did that? Let's think about that for a second. So if I see a Republican, yes, you got some stereotypical Republicans come in and they got a certain look and they say, oh my goodness, here they come. But from what are they really doing? Can I ask that question now? What has somebody in the Republican Party done to you? Let's see. Nationally. Okay, the No Child Left Behind. Maybe you don't like it, but did you look at it? Maybe I could beat that up. But okay, they get rich people tax breaks. Okay, yeah, they don't need those tax breaks. I don't think so neither. They got enough money. They should pay more. Can you give me something? Or they racist. That's over there in Mississippi. They ain't got nothing to do with Philadelphia. You talking about that person. And that person that got these radical prejudice issues is in a historical place to already have it. And the same Democrat over there got the same issues. You just don't see them. Let's get blunt. Let's get bold. Let's get fine. If you think I am, maybe I got some people around me. I had a friend of my wife's that his brother-in-law had the Confederate flag, and he was joking about it. Now, this is still his family. He's not. But his sister may be on the fence, but his brother-in-law is into it. They still got family dinner. Nothing. I'm not mad at it. Let's talk more, but get to common issues on the table. My goal is to get common issues of growth. This state needs to be fracked. Let's keep it real. Let's get this oil out the state. That's business. I'm lining up everybody I know to be prepared for when it happened, not if it happened.
Well, you know, Robert, one of the things we've talked about here, and I think that we've talked about this before, is it seems to me that the powers that be, the people in control, the money, whether, and look, it can be white money, it can be black money, it can be brown money, money. They want to use this issue of racism to keep us separated and controlled, and that way we don't threaten their power structure.
Right.
You know, in other words, the masses, if we pit them against each other by portraying this racism card, you know, and they define it. We don't define it. Okay. I mean, we don't. I always say this. It's funny that my grandparents, and like I told you, we lived in North Philadelphia, okay? And so my grandparents' neighbors, you know, they were black, and then next door they were Hungarian, and then the next door to them was Puerto Rican, yeah.
Yes.
So it's around 2nd and Girard, that area, Jefferson,
yes.
You know. And they all got along, you know, because they were all in the same neighborhood, and they didn't take offense to, you know, certain things or certain stereotypes.
My mother was born in 1933.
Right.
She lived in that neighborhood. When she went to school with a mixture. She didn't run into prejudice until my father got married. And she went to good old Wilmington, Delaware. Not Virginia, not Mississippi, Wilmington, Delaware. And they had to go in the movie theater through the back. And she looked around and, like, because in Philadelphia, they have many movie houses.
Right.
But they never had that issue. She said she learned more about differences as she got older. But in that era, you said, my mother grew up there. 1933, she was born, lived around Wallace Street,
Ernest Street.
She went to Kearney Elementary School. I think it's actually still there. That school should have been, look at that. That school should have been torn down and been redone. It's going to go back to 1930s and it still has to still sitting there. But I'm going to give y'all something that's a common ground. And this would mean as a people, how we fight. And this is a suggestion. I am a man. And I do not, no shape, form, or fashion, want to hear same-sex marriage or somebody castrating themselves because of somebody. I think as men, now if a man do what he decides to do, that's his business. But any real man think this is dumb, stupid, and crazy. Every time I look at a television show and I see people trying to, I can see them even struggling because they got the camera on them trying to say to, well, you know us. No, no, stop, stop, stop. Y'all, they got you by your throat telling this celebrity or that person to be inclusive in their dialogue, something that that man up there don't. Now, I don't know what power they have over them, but the most common ground we have, you're talking about something need to be reversed, needs to be reversed, is same-sex marriage, number one. Number two, we could say God we trust on all of our money, but we can't talk about, regardless of theology, don't debate about theology, but teach somewhere. We can't talk about God on no level in any school, but you can talk about this garbage. Hold it, people. This goes all the way up to the rich or whoever. That is the dumbest, stupidest thing. And everybody that's a priest, reverend, bishop, anybody that wear the cloth to say that they believe in God, they're doing the work of God, need to be smacked in the face. Where's my religious community across the board? Not jumping up and down about that you... It don't even make scientific sense. You need a man, a male, and a female to produce life. Period. You can look at animal kingdom. Okay, they got in some systems, in certain reptilian atmospheres, they could change sex. Oh, wow, that's in South America. But 99% of everybody else need a male and a female. We as a people, that is something that's a big one that we can all agree upon. And I guarantee if y'all talk to men, and any ethnic group, that's something that make them stop and say, hold it. You need an agenda for the Republican Party to start with? Start with that.
Well, you know, Robert, that comes from some of the daily attendance in schools right now. You know, you talk about having pornography being forced upon our students, mm-hmm. kindergarten through 12. Mm-hmm. They're, you know, they claim it's about anti-bullying, so they want to make people more right. soft and aware of what's going on in the LGBTQ folks.
Soft you know, is the key word there.
Right, yeah. They want to soften that. So you're being forced. They're being forced to allow that to happen. And in Bucks County, you know, I'm just blown out of the water with why so many school board members lost their seats on account of wanting to have porn in the school, wanting mm-hmm. to have LGBTQ taught on a curriculum basis. And that kind of daily repetition, it reinforces it, mm-hmm. especially if it's coming from a school system. But you're right. It'd take an act of Congress to get them to start talking about corruption, teaching God inside a classroom
yes.
again.
So think about this, James, that what they want to do, I call it the feel-good legislation, okay? Because, like because in America, everybody has this, technically, okay, everybody's supposed to have the same rights and the same protections. Whether you're a man, woman, gay, straight, Muslim, whatever. But if you notice, they always want to carve out exceptions because they want to make you feel special.
Yeah.
Hey, okay. Grimes. You know, so you, because if you're gay, you need to have special protection. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're African-American, you need to have special protection. Mm-hmm. And now you have white folks saying, well, now we need special protection because now we're... Yeah. So everybody wants to have special protection.
Special protection.
We want to be special, okay? We're friggin' Americans. Yeah. We all have the same rights and protections under the U.S. Constitution.
That's right.
No matter if you're pink, green, long hair, short hair, African-American, Vietnamese, Christian, mm-hmm. Jewish, that's what America was founded on. You know, people forget that when those people from England came over here, the first settlers, they came here to escape religious persecution in England, okay? Okay? Now, of course, they came over here and formed their own religious persecution, you know, because the Indians weren't Catholic or they weren't Christian, so they you know, so but look we can get into that discussion. You know, persecution happens all around. I that's why I have always said, and I agree with Robert on this, one of the biggest downfalls in society is when we took any teaching of religion of God out of the schools.
Yes,
okay?
Totally agree.
Okay.
So, but coming back to what you said a minute ago, so yeah, the law applies equally to everybody, but we know that 3 years ago, State Street, one of the largest financial institutions in the world, managing trillions of dollars, passed a rule that said, or implemented a rule that said, if you're going to hire a white straight male, you have to get special dispensation. As a policy, we will discriminate against these people. Now, that is a divisive move, and that comes after most of our lifetimes, this nation was coming closer and closer together. And then at some point, we began to fracture again. And they want us divided on as many things as they can divide us on.
Yes.
They want to undermine this society because, as we all know, united we stand, divided we fall, right?
Right.
So instead of e pluribus unum, they want to go e unum pluribus. They want to make us divided and easily manipulated and conquered. So they built all these walls. So the folks down in Philadelphia think that it's the people in Delaware County that are getting taken care of. The people in Montgomery County think, well, it's the people in Philadelphia because they got special rules and a huge amount of money going in and all this stuff, right? Nobody's getting taken care of. Now, you've got the globalists who are sort of stirring this pot, who want us all divided. You talk about the gender issues. It is not accidental that all of these books, have you seen the books? Okay, so all these books have ended up in all these schools simultaneously nationwide. Mm-hmm. Now, it's not 100%, but it is it is more than half. They are in these collar counties, it's almost every school. I think it is probably every school. So you all of a sudden have never had straight porn in schools, but suddenly there's all this extraordinarily explicit graphic LGBTQ porn in schools being pushed by the school system. That's a change that makes no sense, but it does begin to break down the society. It begins to undermine it. Mm-hmm. And eventually it takes on its own religious view. So they took some religions out of the schools and brought this new religion in. Where's that coming from? Mm-hmm. Well, it's coming from the uber wealthy globalist cabal, right, that has said this is what we're going to do in Western civilization. Mm-hmm. And it's not just here. Mm-hmm. It's in Germany. It's in France. It's all over Western civilization. This doesn't happen organically, simultaneously across countries. This is a proactive thing. You mentioned earlier the men of the cloth, the people, where are they? And it's not just the porn in schools. That's one issue. It's not just the issues of this constant promotion of the LGBTQ agenda, right? You know the stories of these children who are 12 years old. They say something like, gee, I don't feel comfortable. So they get them to a psychologist. The psychologist moves into a psychiatrist. The psychiatrist moves into a surgeon. And the next thing you know, they're getting injected with hormones, and then they're being surgically altered at the age of 13. And this is happening every day in this country now. This is a big business, and it's happening more frequently. Where are the religious people in this? That's a question. There are some other issues, though, that should unify us. And I actually believe that that when we step back from these divisive issues that have been sort of created to keep us separated, I think we are actually quite united to a large extent. I think about 60% of this country is very, very united around some very simple ideas. But the fentanyl, the heroin. Now, we got a president that just went over and begged Xi to stop sending the chemical weapon into our country that's killing our people. Now, some people think they're just dying in Philadelphia.
They'll slow it down.
Right. Yeah, they're not going to stop it. Some people think it's just in Philadelphia, but in fact, it's in every county in the country. It's 100,000 people a year. That's an issue I think we can all get behind and say, I don't care where you're from, what your color is, whether you're rich or poor. Everyone should be outraged at the bodies that are stacking up every day. And yet, in a lot of cities, certainly in Chester County, in Delaware County, you don't hear anybody talking about it. They lose people every week. In Chester County, it's 8 to 12 people a week dying. That's a county of about 530,000 people. I don't know what I don't have the current numbers for Philadelphia, but I've looked at other places. It's everywhere. It's ubiquitous. Mm-hmm. We're not unifying around that. What we're focused on are these divisive issues. So here's the question then. In the time that remains to turn this around, because we don't have forever, can we get past the divisive issues and rally people around the issues that unify us, that get that 60%, right? Not the 35% that are extraordinarily brainwashed, sort of leftist. Mm-hmm. They just believe what they are told by NBC. Not the 5% that are the uber-wealthy globalists. That's 60% that says, I want safety, freedom, prosperity, and security for my family. I want to live a life where I don't have to worry about walking down the street, and I want opportunity. I want the kinds of opportunities we had before, not the opportunity to work in a cube for 40 years and own nothing and be miserable. I want to build something with my life. Can we organize around that and bring people together? That's my question.
Opportunity in Chicago. Have y'all been paying attention to Chicago?
Oh, yeah.
They're waking up.
Oh, yeah.
When I said they, the African-American community has created more of an independence within anything. This is the opportunity. And a lot of times, keep an independent energy with everybody, you know, look at all options for things. But that right there is a big one.
Oh, it is.
Because you're in this community, and you've been doing good for decades, and you'd be amazed all the barriers that go on, because if you don't go through it, it's like if you, almost like you're making it up. But to say
it's true,
you're going to put this school that's been sitting here with nothing decaying, y'all done came up with $100 million to put into right here in the backyard of the school. And it's something that you said, a couple of things I want to just give my Republican individual something to think about. Joe Biden, no Democrat with all the power that they had, has ever passed a crime bill for African Americans in this country. They did it just recently for the Asian community. They did it for this Alphabet SIP community.
Yeah.
There is not a federal law since slavery that protects African Americans in this country. Number one. Number two, Joe Biden, the war on drugs. Now, nobody in North Philly had a plane or a ship. But yet, during the good old 90s, the crack epidemic blew up.
Mm-hmm.
And they locked all of my brethren up hugely. And when I look at this fentanyl, that's more devastating than crack, which is scary. And since it's the pharmaceutical, since it's the doctor's offices, and I looked at these young people selling this stuff, nobody's getting locked up.
Mm-hmm.
Back during the 90s, they locked up the drug addict. I go down KNA, why they not locked up? So this is my current president who locked up African Americans.
Right.
But yet you're going to talk to these people and get them to slow it down.
Right.
And then of course, we know the neighborhood you grew up in, they got safe havens.
Yes.
They legalized shooting galleries.
Oh, yeah.
But yet, during the 90s, we had crack houses. They got locked up. Now, marijuana is legal. And you got them on every corner popping up all in the different communities and still brainwashing. And the number one thing when we talk about education, before we get into PhD people talking, talk to somebody down here. ABC, 1, 2, 3, reading, writing, and counting. If we focus on right now early basic learning and cut these certain stereotypes of telling people something is wrong, and what happened to corruption of a more of a minor, a universal thing, because of where you were from, you didn't do things in front of children when I was coming up.
Right.
Children should be seen and not heard.
Right.
That was because you were not adult until you got to your menstrual cycle or you got to a development. But now we got our babies being influence, and nobody's enraged with that. They're not supposed to see none of that.
Well, you see what they're doing, and you made a great point with the ABCs, reading, writing, arithmetic. They've replaced that with all these social issues.
Mm-hmm.
They want to push social issues, because, you know, we want you to, you know, to be inclusive. We don't want you to offend anybody, you know. I mean,
participation.
Yeah, participation trophies. Yeah, exactly. You know, I was telling my wife this, and I said, you know, when I went to school, everybody would bring a peanut butter and jelly sandwich to school. Now every other kid is allergic to peanuts. I don't know how that happened, because it's like, you know, it's like if that's the case, then hey, half of my class should be dead.
That's right.
Right. You know, so again, this goes to the whole what I said, that everybody wants to have special treatment. You know, whether, and again, this goes into the, you know, whether you're a special class or your kids are special. And you brought it up. Instead of working with a child, let's give them a pill.
Right.
You know, oh, he's a little, you know, I said to my wife, I said, I guarantee you if when I was a kid, I would probably be one of them ADHD, ZBQs, you know, that, you know, because, you know, I was, should I say, a little rambunctious in class, you know?
Boy. Yeah, the way that my mama and dad handle ADHD,
yeah.
They call it you being sassy, you're out of control, and they'll put that belt on your butt, man. You straightened up and flew, right? And there was a quietness, like you said, children being seen, not heard, you know?
If you were running around a school like a normal boy 20 years ago, you would have been drugged.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
And Robert, you mentioned this thing in Chicago. So it's South Shore Chicago.
Yes.
Back in May, where the government came in and
said, 1 minute, Garrett. Okay. We'll continue after the break.
They said, we're going to take South Shore High School and turn it into a housing facility for migrants. And the community in South Shore erupted.
Yes.
Erupted.
Enough's enough.
And this is a point where we can all come together.
Yes.
The fentanyl and that problem come right from the border. That we're deciding not to defend, and we know who's deciding that. We know who's making that happen.
All right, well, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to continue this conversation. You're listening to The Conservative Voice here on WWDB 860 AM. We'll be back after this short break.
Hoorah!
Of the red, white, and blue.